Connected? Awesome. Ooh, loud. Awesome. I talk really loud. I'm always shouting. Now, it's really exciting for me because I get to go to these keynotes and I'm hearing about all this amazing technology, you know, living on the edge and infusing AI into our applications and connecting everything to super crazy fast databases. And I was watching the Google keynote yesterday when I got home, and it was the same thing. It's like, we have AI, and like, we're gonna do all this crazy stuff to your photos, and it's gonna be the most amazing, crazy thing ever. And then I go back to my app, and I was like, how do I do any of that? That sounds great, but like, what? I have a scoreboard app. Like, how do I infuse AI? I'll estimate what your next die roll is. It's interesting, coming from an enterprise background as a printer developer. We used to work for Canon because everyone loves writing printer software. I come from the state of mind where it's like, well, all my databases are sitting over there. How am I going to get that up there? How am I going to get that onto this tiny little device? How's it going to be super fast? How am I going to somehow analyze that data? How am I going to take advantage of some of these network capabilities and some of these amazing things that these applications are doing? So what I want to do over the next 45 minutes is show you what you can actually put into your mobile applications and how Xamarin, Azure, and Visual Studio are making it easier and better for every single developer here and around the globe to build these types of applications. And not just sort of a fake different demo app, this is a real use case because I wanted to show you real services inside of Azure that you can go back to your office or back later into your hotel room and integrate and start using right now. And I'm going to show you how we're making it super simple to use these APIs to build these cloud-enabled apps with cross-platform APIs, regardless of how you're building your apps with Xamarin, whether you're using Xamarin Native or Xamarin Forms, which I'll cover too. Now, if you don't know who I am, I'm James Montemagno. I'm a principal program manager here at Microsoft. Before that, I was a developer evangelist at Xamarin. And before that, I was a mobile developer and a customer of Xamarin. I fell in love with Xamarin over 7 years ago. It's the reason that I moved to this beautiful, sunshiny city of Seattle, Washington. So good. It's changed a lot in 7 years. There's like a bunch of Amazon towers there now. I don't know if you can see the Space Needle anymore, but it's there. And I moved here because I thought it was a lovely city, but we have amazing coffee that a few of you have joined me on adventures here at Build, and also because I love building mobile apps. I love it. I not only love building mobile apps, but I love building libraries and tools for developers to be more productive every single day. If you have any questions, always feel free to contact me at any single time. If I don't email you back within a week, send me another email and bump it right back up because at Microsoft, we love email. So much email. All the email. And that email, I set up this alias, mats@microsoft.com. That's like priority. It goes into my inbox directly, not into some external folder, directly. So that's exclusive for all of you here and for everyone that I've ever given it away to. You can follow me on Twitter and also subscribe to my awesome podcast. And I also have a show on Channel 9 called The Xamarin Show because I love this stuff. I simply love it. After 7 years, I still believe Xamarin is the best way to build a single app or an app on every single platform, so regardless of how you're building apps. Now, what's great and what I've really learned is that to build great mobile applications, you need to not only build and craft out beautiful native user interfaces, but we need tools to help us be productive as developers to ensure that every time I just push code, stuff happens, and I can automatically distribute it to my testers, ensure that my apps are doing great, and they're performant, tested, good to go, and also learn about how my users are actually using my application. So I can then take that data and feed it back into my development cycle. At the same time, I need to ensure that the apps that I'm creating can be infused with cloud intelligence and be globally distributed across the entire world. So even though I launch my app today in the US, what happens if all of a sudden it becomes the most popular scoreboard application in all of Australia, and I need to scale out my back end? And that's what the cloud does, is let us not only infuse AI, but also globally distribute our app. And I'll say it here, Visual Studio, Xamarin, and Azure is the best way to build cloud-connected mobile apps for any operating system, whether you're building on a Windows, iOS, Android, Mac, or anything else. We are the best way to do it, and I'm going to show you how. I'm going to tell you about a little story that led to actually this session here. is that as a Xamarin developer, there's a lot of amazing people in the Xamarin community. Some have kind of joined up and recently joined Microsoft as cloud developer advocates. And a lot of them have given sessions here today. We call them CDAs, cloud developer advocates. There's a whole bunch of them. And I go on campus all the time, and I have a bunch of friends in the office. But these CDAs are all over the globe, but always traveling under Redmond campus. And I was like, on our team and on our Slack, and I was like, whoa, Matthew's here? Like, Matthew, like, you're from Wisconsin. Like, how are you here? Like, did you bring me cheese? That's all I really care about. Where are my fresh curds? That's all I want to know. And sure enough, he goes, I did bring you fresh curds. I'm going to stop by your office. But I was like, I need an application to know when all of my friends are together. I need to know when the Xamarins and the CDAs can get together, drink some banana juice, and just have a great day. So this led to the creation of an application, because we all have mobile devices. We're all traveling across the globe. So I said, hey, what if I build some sort of contact application infused with the power of these devices so anyone can check in and I can see any of the CDAs near me, or better yet, just see where they're at. So now someone could download this application in your hometown and see if any CDAs are nearby. And we call that application GeoContacts. It's an open source application. You can grab it today. It's for iOS and Android. And it enables you to do just that. Browse all of your contacts that are CDAs. The CDAs can log in and check in. Then you can see where they're at. And it's a beautiful application written completely cross-platform with Xamarin Forms. So I figured I would just go and demo this really quick. So we built this application in about 2 weeks. And we decided, like, hey, we want to take advantage of some Azure stuff, but also build some beautiful apps. So I'm going to go ahead and launch it here. I'm screen mirroring both my Android and iOS device. And I haven't logged in yet on my Android device, because we have a CDA login, but also a guest login. So I'm going to kind of walk through these flows here. I've logged in already on my iOS device. So I can come inside of here, and I'll continue as a guest. Is going to go off and query and pull down all of the data from our backend. I can come in and tap, here's Brandon, for instance. There's Brandon there. And notice we're kind of getting an iOS and Android-specific user interface, correct back buttons, correct user interface. If I tap on follow, I'm going to get different sheets for both iOS and Android, so I can follow Brandon wherever he's spreading the Xamarin goodness. I can also come in over to the nearby, and I can say, hey, let me go ahead and find nearby CDAs. On Android, a permission prompt comes up and says, hey, do I have access to your permission for your location? Oh, I didn't put in that right code, so let's go ahead and try one more time. Come on. Button press. Well, Matthew's there, so that's good. Give me 1 second. What's happening here? App info. This is a good thing to do during a demo. Oh, I have permission. All right, that looks good. I'm not sure what's happening there. That's okay. Well, what I can do in this is I can see actually that Matthew on the iOS has checked in and he's happy, but I'm also here. Down here, I can see that I'm in my hometown, but I'm not checked in. So kind of notice that I have, you know, hometown, recently checked in. So let me go ahead and check in here really quick. I'm going to go ahead and tap on that top right. Notice that on Android, I'm not logged in, so I don't actually see that little icon. And when I do that, it brings up this little screen where I can check in. So the first thing I can do is get my location. And immediately, it's queried my iOS device for Seattle. It's found my location. But we also added ability to add our mood. So I'm going to go ahead and bring up the camera here. There you go. I'll say use photo. This is going to analyze my emotion in real time using cognitive services to add that to my check-in. And then I'm going to synchronize that with the cloud. So now when I'm done, I can come back over here and I'll say find CDAs near me. And immediately, boom, me and Matthew are both checked in. I'm not sure. And we can debug together in a lovely world over on Android to see what's happening later on. But now I have my application both running on iOS and Android with both, you know, native user interfaces on each. So card views, proper tabs that my users are going to expect. Now anyone can then download this application and find the CDAs near them. Let me hop back over into my PowerPoint here. So let me tell you a little bit how I built these applications. Now with Xamarin, we give you the ability to craft out beautiful native user interfaces with iOS storyboards, Android XML, Windows XAML user interface, and share a bulk of your business logic. So your models, view models, RESTful service calls, Azure integrations, things that are the same between iOS, Android, and Windows for your common business logic. Then you have access to 100% of the APIs in iOS, Android, and Windows, so you can have access to every single native capability. Now, I mentioned that I built this application with Xamarin Forms, which is our cross-platform native user interface. So we've abstracted a whole bunch of the common controls into a single library that you can get access to immediately into your applications. Now, what's great is that we're able to really tie this up to Azure and really ensure that no matter where our CDAs are, the application is going to be really fast for them and for any developer that wants to find a CDA. And with Azure, what's great is that you can deploy your code into over 50 compute regions. So no matter where you're at or where your customers are at, you can deploy your code and ensure that it's going to be available right away. Now, there's tons of great services for mobile developers. I'm going to point some out here and some of the things that we integrated in. Of course, we're going to try to tie in some data, whether you're using a SQL database or brand new Azure Cosmos DB. Add some AI, not only with machine learning, but cognitive services. And of course, we have the ability to tie in powerful backends. Maybe you're talking to a RESTful service that's living inside of a mobile app, web API on the backend, or serverless compute with Azure Functions. And there's even more that's really important for mobile applications. Maybe you have a really important search application where you've indexed everything, or want to create real-time communication applications, or just do identity for your users. And let's start with authentication. Authentication is really important. I'm logged in, and I'm able to check in, because I've logged in with my Microsoft account. Whereas on the flip side, the guest was not able to. They didn't even see the icon. Now, the authentication side, it starts in multiple factors of how you want your users to log in. And we have multiple solutions here at Microsoft, and the one that I'm using here is Azure Active Directory. Azure AD gives you really secure identity for your company. So you have Azure AD, all of your users in your organization are able to be added into your Azure AD and easily onboarded into any application using a single cross-platform SDK. Now, if you're building a consumer application, you might want to tie into your own, you know, username and password or social authentication with Twitter or Facebook. And that's where Azure AD B2C comes in. That's business to consumer. It's actually the same exact API and SDK for Azure AD, but it adds in the ability to do social, email, or any custom identifier. What's nice is that you can also customize Azure AD B2C, do custom branding, logo to your company, and same with Azure AD itself. Now, as cool as you might be saying, well, hey, I don't even, you know, want to set up a whole identity thing and this other thing and all this stuff, you can also select to just use, you know, Facebook, Twitter, or our own Microsoft login. So this way you're not managing any of the passwords or anything, you just need an auth token. And that's where our Microsoft authentication library comes in. Call it MSAL. Now, our MSAL library actually works for all three of those authentications. So whether you're using Azure AD, Azure AD B2C, or you're using just Microsoft authentication, you can go ahead and use this library. It's fully open source. It works on any single platform, not only just your Windows, your .NET, WPF applications, anything like that, .NET Core, but also works in any other backend language. What I really love about this on the mobile side of things is that it actually ties into the native capabilities of the platform. So you can see on the bottom here, it really uses SF Safari View and Chrome custom tabs on Android, which for me is really important as a developer who wants to ensure that I'm getting that great native user interface. Now, what's nice is when you log in with any of these services, Azure AD, B2C, or MSAL, you also have access to the Microsoft Graph. So you can get information about your specific users. And this is actually really important, because as I log in, I might need to get information about their photo. I might need to get information about their groups, their devices, their emails, their calendar, especially if you're building enterprise applications. So it becomes really important to not only just have some way of authenticating my application and my users, but actually taking it a step further and tying in deeper to get information back. So what I figured I would do next here is show you exactly what it looks like to tie in this API into the application. So I'm going to head back over onto my machine. Now, I have the full solution here, so I'm going to go ahead and just zoom in and show you what this looks like first. So I have an Android and iOS app. What's nice is that I could add a UWP application, WPF application, Mac application here using Xamarin Forms or not, and share a bulk of this backend. Now, inside of here, I have some views. So here I have a login page, an update location page. I also have some view models that are controlling that. I'm an MVVM type of developer. I just love it. It's like MVC, more Vs, more Ms. One less C, technically. Someone called me out on that, and they're like, oh, where are my controllers? And I got controls. What's cool here is that I'm actually doing some customization. I actually am using Markdown to render the some information here. So if I go into my iOS, I actually do a little bit of Markdown inside of here, a little customization. I use Markdig, which is a cross-platform implementation to parse any of the Markdown to HTML and display that in a native control, which is nice. It's a little bit nicer on Android in general, but I also did that over there. Now, if I come and look at my dependencies, this is actually quite interesting. I'm using a .NET standard library, which means that I can share my code with any .NET platform. So I can see I'm bringing in quite a few things that we're going to talk about today. I'm pulling in Markdig, so that's that cross-platform Markdown library. I have my favorite caching API called Monkey Cache. Wonder who created that? Me. I also am using a plugin here called Multilingual, which gives me the ability to do multilingual translations for my app from ResX files. And of course, Xamarin Forms and Xamarin Essentials to use location services and a few other things. Now, for identity, I talked about MSAL. And the NuGet package specifically that we're looking for is the Microsoft Identity Client. Now, technically, it is a preview, but it's been in a preview for a year. And I've shipped it in tons of applications. And it's pretty much production ready. So just do it. It's there. So what do I have to do to actually get into my app? Because I did talk about security with custom tabs and SF Safari view. Well, what I have inside of this application is an authentication service. And this is where all of my authentication is happening. I'm going to go ahead and bump this up really big for everyone so we can see it. Now, this authentication service is an interface, because who doesn't love interfaces? And I just have a login and a silent login, and I can log in and log out. Inside of here, I have a few important things. I have this UI parent, and this is actually important inside of iOS and Android with this library because I'm tying into that custom native API of those custom tabs and SF Safari view. Now, that comes from the Microsoft Identity Client API, so it's nothing custom that I did. This is all in the API. I also have this public client application. So the idea here is that I am creating a public client application, and that is giving me the information on the back end to who am I talking to. So am I talking to Azure AD, B2C, or MSAL? So when I go into here and I go to definition, we can see that I have my application ID, and I also have a redirect information of my login Microsoft Online authentication. So this would be specific for any organization, and we give you this information inside of the Azure portal. Now, since we are tying in and using specific Android and iOS implementations, we do have to have a little bit of setup here. So when I go into my main activity of my Android application, what I do is I say, hey, authentication service, this main activity is where I'm logging in. I'm the UI parent. After I log in, what will happen is I will get back some information from that custom tab back into the application. And then I pass that information up to Azure AD, into the library, and it handles everything for me. If I go into my iOS application, I've added a little bit of information into my InfoP list. Just because of security protocols, my app needs to register and say, hey, Safari, I can accept any bundle identifier of Microsoft Advocates and this specific MSAL string. And this is all documented, which is really nice. And that's it. That's really just about it that you need to do. If I come into my iOS application delegate here, we can see that I have literally just a little bit of the same kind of call from Android and iOS to open up that URL, so I get called there. So let's actually go ahead and plug back in my Android device over here. I'm going to go ahead and just hit debug. And I'm going to go into my authentication service. And we're going to walk through the login process. So the very first thing that happens when I call login is, oops, what's happening over here? One second as my Samsung device freaks out. Tools. There we go. There we go. There we go. I'll go ahead and do the silent login. The idea is that with a silent login, I can use the authentication client that I created and say, hey, just see if I have a token and if I've logged in. This will check to see if I'm already logged in and will also refresh the token because tokens expire. So it's actually important to call login whenever I'm making calls that need to be authenticated with my users. So I pass in specifically any scopes that I need for the authentication, and I'll get back some information. So if I go to the scopes, we can see that I'm only just using user read. But if I needed more information from the graph, I would put those scopes right there into my constant so I could get that information back. Now, if something goes wrong, this is just going to throw an exception. And that's OK, because if I can't log in or refresh my token silently, then I'm simply going to ask the Azure AD to acquire my token asynchronously. So here, again, just pass in my scopes. But this instance, I pass in my UI parent so I can go ahead and pull it up. And we're going to see if this thing is going to, oh, OK, it's assigning. It's happening. And it should go ahead and now deploy and debug again into my app. And I'll walk through the process of what information I'm getting back. So we'll see how it's what's happening here. Have faith that it's, oh, there we go, good. Let's go ahead and pull this up. All right, cool. So now I'm going to go ahead and say CDA login. And immediately, it was super quick to actually do that silent login, because I've never logged in, nothing happened, so I get null back. Just exception was thrown, boom, done. So now what's going to happen is I'm going to say acquire token async. And when I do that, it's going to pop up my Chrome custom tab. Now notice that I have already logged in once with my Microsoft authentication, because this is my personal actual Microsoft account, which is great to use in a demo always. Oh, great. And it's gone ahead and asked me to enter my password. So let's go ahead and minimize that really quick. I'll log in here. Oh, that's not it. Uh-oh. Unless my password expired. Pretty sure that's my password. Apparently not. Oh, there it goes. Oh, perfect. Oh, my goodness. Whew. All right, this is great. Because now what it's done is it's gone over to my actual phone and says, hey, you need two-factor auth. So I need to use my fingerprint over here on my actual Pixel device, which is now going to do a full two-factor authentication, come back, and boom, I'm logged in. Wow, that was a great demo, not planned at all. So what's cool is I can see all the access tokens inside of here. I can see the ID token, the scopes, and I can get information about my users. Now, I don't even store that information inside the application. I could use the key store to store it and see when it expires and update it automatically if I want to. But now if I come over here and actually tap to update, We can go ahead and see what both of these look like. I can go ahead and get location again. Something is wrong with location. Oh, no, location's here. So for some reason, it's not going to do it. And let me actually get my location for some reason on the same device. We can go and try to log in again. See how that did. Very sad because location's not working. And because I force it that you need it. But oh my goodness, it seems like I like how I put emojis everywhere. That's good. I'm not sure why my location is not working. Turn on locations. Not going to happen. That's really interesting. Well, when in doubt, debug it live on stage. Because what's cool here, if I go into my services and geolocation, we can see exactly what's happening. This is me at work. That's not good. Oh, we fixed that bug. That's good. Nice. Dun, dun. There we go. Cool. That was fixed in the version that we shipped on Monday, but I didn't update this. That's good. So let's actually do it, because I want to show you what now it looks like on both devices now that I'm logged in. Oh, I got 18 minutes left. That's great. Oh, cool. See, next deploy, much faster. Okay, cool. Take that, demo. Although it still may not work completely, so who knows. So now what's cool is that I've logged in, and I actually, I check to see if I'm logged in, and if I am, then that's when I display this user interface. Let's get location. Totally, look at that. What a great demo. Now I'm happy. But I should actually do something different because... Oh, I'm really happy, but let's do it again. I'll do straight phase. Pre-coffee in the morning. All right, let's see what happens. Cognitive services, beautiful emoji, coming back, synchronized with cloud. Now, what's cool is that I did call login again because now I'm actually pushing data to the server. So what's cool here is that it didn't need to log in again, and I'm able to push this information off into my backend. And now if I come over to my iOS application and find my nearby CDAs again, we can see that here I have my brand new not-so-happy information there. But Matthew, still crushing it, still has a beard, still super happy in life. All right. So that's authentication in a nutshell and how easy it is with just a few lines of code to go ahead and integrate that into your app. Now, at the same time, I've been talking a lot about data. I'm pushing data. I'm pulling data. Where does that data come from? Well, when I was working in at Canon writing printer software, we just put a SQL server down there. There it is. And then everything talked to that SQL server. And that's often when developers come to me and say, I need to get my data into my app. What do? I just have a SQL server sitting around. It could be any version. 2017 has some awesome new features. But what I usually recommend here is say, hey, just create a RESTful API that can talk to it, or perhaps use a hybrid connection to bring some of that data into Azure. We can also migrate your existing SQL Server on-prem up into Azure SQL. What's great is that it's the same SQL database that you know and love, but it's just SQL Server as a service. We can easily migrate that. What also is nice is that you get to take advantage of all of the cloud to scale out and also take advantage of all of our built-in auto-tuning and threat detection. So if people are trying to do some injections or something like that, you don't have to worry about that. We handle all of it for you. And you don't have to manage your own servers. It's just sitting there. Now, for this application, though, I wanted to actually do something new. And the reason that I decided to pick a Cosmos DB backend for this application is because I wanted to tie into the Microsoft Graph, but also choose a database that was easily and readily globally distributed. And I'll talk a little bit about Cosmos DB before I show you this, why we used it. What's great is that it is really globally distributed. With a single button click, you can just roll out to a new region. Just need my data over there. Boom, there it is. And it'll just do all of it for you. It's amazing. Like, look at me. I'm an IT pro. Just psh, done. What's also cool is that it will scale for any of your needs. Whether you have a small application with just megabytes or kilobytes of information to gigabytes or petabytes of information, it can handle hundreds to millions of transactions based on how much money you want to give us. It's great. What I do love, though, is that it really covers all aspects. When I'm thinking of where I want my data, I want it highly available, I want it super quick, I want my data to be consistent no matter where it's at in the world. If I need it over here in Asia, well, that needs to be the same information that's over in the US. And they can handle all of that for you automatically. Now, what's interesting about Cosmos DB is that it actually exposes APIs on top of existing database structures, such as DocumentDB, MongoDB, or Table Storage. And additionally, we recently added Cassandra to the mix. Now, what I really like about this is we picked a DocumentDB backend for our Cosmos DB. And we did that because DocumentDB gives us really nice geolocation-based queries for our application. So I just didn't pick Cosmos DB because it's new, fancy, and shiny. I picked it for a reason. I picked it because I can query Cosmos DB directly and say, hey, give me all CDAs within a 50-mile radius that have checked in the last 7 days to where I'm at right now with a single call. And I don't have to be a mathematician or understand any of that complex logic. Cosmos DB and DocumentDB will handle it for me automatically. So let me show you what this looks like to put into your app. So the first thing that I'm going to show here is I'm going to stop debugging, get out of here. And inside of my application, I've brought in some more, you guessed it, Nuget packages. And over here, I've brought in the DocumentDB core. That is our Cosmos DB integration. And it just, for legacy purposes, was called DocumentDB. And this offers all of my cross-platform APIs. Now, if I go ahead and look at my geolocation service that I was having issues with earlier, whenever I query the current position, it will go off using Xamarin Essentials from a single cross-platform API, get my location, and return that back to me. It will also attempt to do a reverse geolocation or a geocoding on it. So I'll call Xamarin Essentials to say, hey, based off this location, see if I'm in Seattle or in Wisconsin or wherever I'm at, so I can pass that information back to my Cosmos DB. Now, more importantly, is I need to query that data. So if I come into my view model of all contacts, there it is, I have a simple observable collection of contact. And when I say refresh, I will call out and I'll say, hey, give me all my data asynchronously. And I'll update my information right here with all that. Now, this will go off to my Azure backend service that I created. Now, what's unique here, as I go ahead and minimize this down and pull it up, is that we've created a read-only version of the DocumentDB collection and a read-write version, because often we're concerned about, hey, what keys do I put into my app? So I can pull in my Azure Documents API. And what I'm doing is I'm creating a collection. So this is my collection of CDAs. And I give it a little bit of information about the CDA itself. So the database inside of Cosmos DB is called CDA Locations, and this one is called CDA Info. We have another entry called Location. So I have two different collections inside the same database. So kind of think of it as two different tables. Now, this is all cross-platform, and there's nothing I needed to do inside of iOS or Android, but I simply create my document client, which comes from Cosmos DB. I pass it my where it lives, so I get a URL from my backend, and I get an auth key. Now, this is my read-only auth key, and I'm going to talk about how we do updates a little bit later on. So when I initialize, I simply say, hey, go open everything asynchronously. And then when I want to get all CDAs, I say, hey, I'm going to create this query. Now, this isn't calling to Cosmos DB. It's creating a query. And the query will know how to page over my data. So if I have 10,000 CDAs, which we may have one day, then that will know how to page efficiently over it. And I can simply go and loop over this has more results. So on the first one, it always will. So it'll go off, and I'll say, hey, execute the current query. When that's done, do I have more information? Execute that information. And go get more over and over again. That is my single call to make a direct connection to Cosmos, pull back down the data. Now, I do a little bit of cleanup here for the images, just because those live somewhere else in blob storage. And that's it. Now, I am using my monkey cache to store that locally. So I actually serialize that, store it back and forth, because Cosmos DB doesn't have an offline storage at this point. So I have a nice library called monkey cache to do that for me. Now, what's really unique is this query. It's going to look way complex, but trust me, it's not. What I do is I'm trying to find all of the cloud developer advocates based on my current location. So I have a get nearby async where I pass in my longitude and latitude. So built in to the Cosmos DB NuGet package is a point, so a bunch of geolocation information. So I tell it to go and create a query with some feed information based on if I want parity between these logins. And I want to get that based on the user point where I'm at right now, a distance from the hometown position, and I want that to be within X distance, which is in meters, and I think it's 50,000 meters, whatever that is in kilometers, whatever that is in miles. I don't know, 50? That sounds good. And then I create a document query. But look at how I didn't have to do anything to put in this query. I just kind of used link, just as I was expect. But Cosmos DB sends that query directly to my backend and does it all for me, and I loop through it. And that's it. Now, what's really nice here is that I can go into my Cosmos DB backend and investigate all of this. So here's my overview. You can see I've replicated it not only on the West Coast, but the East Coast. I could come in and I could go ahead and geo-replicate this again when I come in. And let's just go ahead and roll it out over here to Korea. No, let's go to that sounds good. Save. Cool. I just literally replicated all my data in real time over there. It's like, cool, just did that. That's fun. Done. Now what I can do is I can come into my Data Explorer. This is a new view where I can do advanced queries over my data. But here, I can go ahead and see my location, and I can see my CDA information. And I can look at my documents, and I can tap on one, and I can see information about them. So we just store them as JSON blobs. So here's all the information about John Papa. Now, what's cool about the location updates is that I also have these documented here, and I can see my last update. There we go. And I can see I'm not too happy. Now, of course, we can fix that. We can come to Emojipedia, everyone's number one bookmark, and I can go ahead and change my mood to monkey, and hit update. Now, when I come back in to my application and say get nearby, now I'm a monkey. It's that fast. Like, it just updated, rolled it out to all three data centers, and there it is. And the same is going to be true if I come over into my Android application right over here, and I come in, hit find CDAs. There's apparently none nearby because I don't have my location. Get that location. And it'll be there. You know, it's there. Perfect. And that's how easy it is to start exploring data, putting data inside of it, all right there. Oh, it totally came back. There it is. Look at that monkey. And proper emojis on both operating systems. And that's what you really want to offer to all your users. If there's one thing you take away, it's really ensuring you have emojis in your app. Now, at the same time, we not only had a way to log in, have a powerful backend, but we did infuse a little bit of AI in this app, mostly based off of me being able to take a photo with my camera of my device and then diagnose that and investigate it to see what's my current emotion. We're able to do this by really using several of the services up in Azure. Now, built into the databases is a bunch of machine learning with Python and R that you can leverage and a bunch of query languages. What I really like is that we can take it a step further. We can actually use custom vision AI or Azure machine learning to create TensorFlow and CoreML models that we can put directly into our applications. We can use bot service to create text-based chat applications that can live directly inside of our apps or push out to maybe Skype or Facebook Messenger. Well, my favorite is Azure Cognitive Services. It's all of these amazing AI and data services that you can use instantly in your app. And these are just a few of my favorites, because it's really, to me, kind of simplistic but powerful AI for me as a developer. I don't need to know about crazy machine learning and not a data scientist, but I can take a photo and I can pass that stream to an API. I can do that. And that's what that really gives you the ability to do. There's custom vision, knowledge graphs. You can create people recognition, speech recognition, or just use search to pull back powerful web searches or videos or news and a lot more. So let's take a look at how I can make this application really smart using these APIs. All right. So over here, I went to our cognitive services documentation, and there's tons. There's not only computer vision, emotion API, face API, speech recognition, language services, Q&A. We have tons of labs, a whole bunch of great things to get you started to be really productive. Now, I'm using the face API. This is cool. You'll probably saw demos all over, right? You're like, oh, more face stuff. That's cool. But this one actually makes sense because I don't want to go see Matthew if he's in a bad mood, right? He's like, cheese isn't good today. Like, all right, I want the good cheese. But you're able to do a whole bunch of face detection, face recognition. You can see queries them to see similar faces. But you can also get emotions and see how happy they are, how sad they are, just from a single image. Now, what I love about this is if I pop over into the app, as you guessed it, more NuGet packages, all the NuGet packages. We have a single cross-platform cognitive service vision face API. All the cognitive services have a .NET API associated with them. And just like I had my authentication and data service, I have an emotion service. Now, what's really interesting is that I have gone ahead and created a face API. And this will take in my face API key that I actually have embedded. That's my real key. Don't steal that. I'll have to change that later. Okay. And I specified the Azure region that it's in. So this is in West Central US. Now, I created a simple API here to go ahead and take in a stream. And I'm telling it that I want the emotion. And check this out. Face API dot face detect with stream async. I'm going to tell it, here's the stream based on the attributes of emotion. It's going to go ahead and give me back a list of all of the faces that it recognized in the photo. If there's a bunch of us, I'm going to grab the first one with link, use a bunch of null collation here, and get the emotions back. And here, I'm going to go ahead and find the largest, whatever the most emotion is, and just embed that emoji code directly into source code. That's what you should be doing. It's proper, we're just going to have fun with our code reviews. And that's what I'm doing. I put these into a dictionary, and I use a little link to say, give me that first one back. Boom, done. Now, you'd be wondering, well, how do I get that media? How do I get that information out? Well, what's really nice is I can use Xamarin Essentials for a whole bunch of different APIs, but I can also use plugins for Xamarin, which are cross-platform plugins from the community that do very similar functionality. So here I'm using my media plugin to simply say, hey, initialize the camera, go ahead and take a photo async. I'm going to ask it to use the front camera and go ahead and bring back that stream. So as long as it comes back, boom, there's my stream. I'm good to go. That's it. Just a few lines of code all cross-platform to not only take the photo, but analyze that and bring it back into my application. Cool. Now, the next part I want to talk about is serverless compute. Because what's really interesting is that with Azure Functions, these things don't live inside of your app, but they can really power a whole bunch of different scenarios for what your app can do. Now, I mentioned I had a read-only key inside of the application so I can pull down the data. I didn't want to put my read-write keys directly into source code. That's bad. So what I did is I created an Azure function that my app can call when I'm authenticated to pass location information and my emoji of how happy or sad I am that's coming back from cognitive services. That Azure function will then take that specific geolocation and find a generic location. So if I'm passing, I'm in this building right here, we don't want that. We want Seattle in general. It'd be really creepy if I'm getting Matthew's direct coordinates every single time. So we anonymize it using our Azure function and then directly insert it into our Cosmos DB. And that's why this is great. Because one, my application doesn't have to make API calls randomly. It doesn't have to worry about authentication because the Azure function can do it and do it on demand. I don't have to worry about servers. I don't have to worry about RESTful service APIs. I don't have to do anything. What's cool is that Azure functions have all sorts of scenarios. I could upload images and then analyze it on the server if I wanted to. I don't even have to do that inside the application. I could take that. I could do OCR. I could use cognitive services on it and then plop that into databases. I could do other things, such as make a RESTful service call, take some data out of Cosmos DB, put some things back into Cosmos DB, tie it into Event Grid, maybe push a push notification back to say, hey, guess what? Matthew's nearby, and he's super happy. Go check him out at the Azure booth. Something really cool that we also use for this application is a timer. I've always had the problem of I have a bunch of data inside my app and my database, but I need to clean it out every so often. So what I do here is every night at midnight, I say, hey, delete any old check-in code automatically. Just do that. Just do that for me. Let me show you what that means really quick. Again, no servers, no anything. Now, what's really nice is inside of this library is not only my Azure function, or my code for my apps, but also my Azure function. Let's go ahead and drop that down. I have a shared model with some graph information and location update that's being shared via .NET Standard with my Azure function and my mobile apps. Boom, that's cool. And then I have my Azure function right here. It's called update location. And inside of this code is exactly what I just showed you and talked about. Here I have a simple update geolocation. I have a bunch of information about my Cosmos DB backend. Now I'm storing the information about the auth keys inside of Azure, so I don't even have it here locally. And then what happens is I pass it via a webhook to update location. I can go and query the graph information, or in this instance, when I'm debugging, I don't do anything. I then use some other Azure and Bing services to go ahead and take and query our location API to say, hey, this is my geolocation, latitude, longitude. Give me back just the location information. Is that Seattle? Give me the generic information. And I parse out a bunch of information. And when I'm done, I go ahead and create a document, and I shove that directly into Cosmos DB. So now, as long as I'm authenticated, which I do a little bit of query down here, make sure I'm authenticated and I have information, only my users that are authenticated that can talk to this backend can insert information into my Cosmos DB. I also have a little timer here inside the same method that is up inside of Azure that's going to be running every single night. And all I do is I use my same exact Cosmos DB NuGet package. I'm using the same library in my mobile apps and my Azure functions to do a query, but I'm saying give me all the older information. And then I simply say, hey, I just want to delete a bunch of information and let me delete some documents asynchronously so I don't clutter stuff up. And now I can go ahead and debug this inside of Visual Studio or Visual Studio for Mac and debug and do it all locally and simply push it up into Azure. All right, last thing here because I'm already over time, is I want to make sure that I can take this app and my backend and simply push it up into Azure with every code commit. For our Azure functions, we're using Visual Studio Team Services with every commit to pull down that code, compile it, and then send it up into Azure. But for mobile apps, it's a little bit different. Because with mobile apps, we have a whole bunch of different things that we need to be concerned about. Not only building, but testing, analytics, distributing it out, and of course, pushing it to the App Store. And that's why we came together and built a brand new product, specifically for mobile developers, which is called Visual Studio App Center. You can do everything from build, test, engage with your users with push notifications, get crash reporting analytics, and you choose. Do you want one service? Do you want two services? Do you want all of them? Really briefly, I'll show you exactly how I'm distributing this application with App Center. So over here, I have my App Center. I have Android and iOS application and my organization. So I use App Center for a lot of things. Inside of Android, I can come into build. I have all of my branches that are feeding in, this one from our open source GitHub project. I can tap and say, let me go ahead and look at my master branch. Here, it'll go in query, see that here's my Android app. I can select what version of Xamarin I want. I'm going to run some custom scripts. And down here, I have some API keys that I'm going to swap out. I've also passed it my Android key store, so it'll automatically sign it. It'll distribute it to my developers, or if I wanted to, I could publish directly to the store, and I'll also have a little badge. Now, with every commit into master, I'm gonna go ahead and get that right here inside a new build that'll be distributed. I also have my distributions that I've done before. You have the ability to do private groups. I also have a public API that anyone can grab a URL and install it to. So I push this out to the CDAs. And I've also tied it here to Google into my store, where I can go ahead and do it to production, beta, or alpha release. So you can say I've actually pushed our release directly to Google from App Center. I also have analytics in the application. So we can see that it's a super highly used application. Look at all that. It's great. People use it active. I can see where they're using it. And to be honest, they're using it all over the globe. And I can see the adoption rate between different versions. My app doesn't crash, so perfect. I like that. But I can also be collecting data and get more insights. But I write flawless code, so I never have to worry about it. It's not so flawless all the time. On occasion. I can do this for Android, iOS, no matter how I'm building apps. And I can see I've set up the builds here for my iOS application. But a little bit different is because for iOS, I pass it iOS-specific information with provisioning profiles, and I tell it to distribute directly to the App Store. That's really nice. If I wanted to come in and create a new application, I just say, new app. And I set it all up right here. If your code's already in GitHub, you can use that new fancy GitHub integration back and forth. All right, let's roll it up here. So I've not only infused my application with a powerful backend, used Xamarin and Visual Studio to build a cross-platform native application using native features of the devices, but I've also gone ahead and shipped it immediately with App Center. You can learn more by going to visualstudio.com/Xamarin or appcenter.ms to learn all about this, which is nice. I'll let everyone take a few seconds, photos of this fancy slide that I did not make. And also, all this Azure stuff, guess what? You can go ahead and get a full free trial. You get $200 of free Azure credits. If you're already an MSDN Visual Studio subscriber, you get a bunch of Azure credit. What's nice is for a full year of the free trial, you get Azure VM, SQL databases, Cosmos DB. You can use all of this stuff. It's really great. All of the things that I'm showing you here today work with Visual Studio Community Edition. So be aware, I'm not showing you anything super fancy with paid versions of Visual Studio. You can do all of this today completely for free. If you want to extend Azure, there's other crazy things on the Azure Marketplace and AppSource. You can learn more about that for custom solutions for your business. And also, I have all these resources. Every single thing that I showed you is here. All the source code, everything. Later today, I'll be pushing the update with the Essentials code and make sure I update it so it doesn't have an exception. But all the things here to learn about how you can use Xamarin, Xamarin Essentials, and get the app directly. And with that, I'll be sticking around with for some questions, but thank you so much and have a great rest of your Build 2018.